Good evening. My name is Brother Don Elwell. I hail from the Pacific Northwest in the Lacamas Church of God congregation. And I come before you tonight to obey the Lord. My hope and my desire is that we would pray that the Lord's presence would be here and that the Lord would bless and anoint His word. I don't know how many years it's been, but it still doesn't get any easier. And I want to obey the Lord, though. So there's a thought tonight that I want to share with us is intimacy with God. And the burden that I have, if I could simplify it, is that the Lord desires to have a closer walk with each and every one of us. Some here might not know who the Lord is at all. Some have just started. Some have had some ups and downs, been through some things. Some have had a lifetime of living for the Lord. But I'm thoroughly persuaded that there is still yet more that the Lord has for us tonight, and knowing Him and knowing Him in a deeper way. I believe it is the desire in the heart of God to know His creation individually and intimately. I don't want anyone to walk away thinking that you're just one cog in the wheel and one of many and just kind of out there. But God actually sees and knows you as an individual. He knows you better than you know yourself, better than those that are your friends and family that know you pretty well and could tell us a lot of things about you. And yet the Lord knows so much more. In fact, the scripture teaches that He knows more about you than you know yourself. I want to begin by reading in the third chapter of Genesis, show from the very beginning the heart of God. And we read here, we pick up a little bit in the story of Adam and Eve. And in verse 8 it said, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." And I know we can read this and we understand what's going on here. The fact that Adam and Eve had obeyed the Lord or disobeyed the Lord. They had sinned and there was guilt and shame when they heard His voice and they hid themselves. But I would tonight that we would stop and consider another part to this story. And that part is the fact that they knew Him by His voice. They didn't have to see Him. They didn't have to behold His presence. But simply they heard Him speaking and knew His voice, which tells me that it wasn't a one-time or even a first-time occurrence. It implies, although the Bible doesn't explicitly say, but it implies that this was a regular habit of the Lord. And it conveys in it the heart and the desire of God to be in oneness with His creation. And it was the Lord that made the decision to come down in the cool of the day and to spend time and to walk with His creation and to do this multiplicity of times to the point that they could just but hear His voice and they knew that the Lord was in this place. We have some understanding of that. There are different people that we can call on the telephone. And you hear, even today, I remember just before service, I was talking to somebody over here, and somebody over here says, "I know that voice." And I think about how important it is to know the voice of the Lord. In order for us to make heaven our home, we're going to have to be familiar with the voice of God. We're going to have to understand and recognize that it is the Lord that is calling. It is the Lord that is directing. It is the Lord that's correcting. It's the Lord that is commending me so that I might know how to live my life and I might know how best to serve Him and to follow Him. I believe very passionately tonight, and I believe my heart is in unison with God's and that the Lord desires to prosper His people. We've been talking for some time at home in our own congregation. And I've been conveying the burden the Lord has given, and I believe the Lord has for us tonight, that He's not interested in His people just barely making it. God is interested in all of His children, not just those that are in a position of leadership or those that are held in people's high regard, but each and every child of God. God is interested that we would have a thriving, passionate, on fire experience that the people of this world, that when they behold us, when they see us in the public places and on the job and all the things that we go and do, that they would take note and recognize that there is somebody that has spent time with God. To have that kind of testimony, to have that kind of experience, you're going to have to get intimate with God. And I want you to understand tonight that the heart and desire of God is to draw close to you and to be close to you. And we read here in Genesis where it brings that up. There's another scripture in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and Jesus is speaking in the 37th verse. And he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered thee as a hen doth gather your chicks, but you would not." And you see there again the heart of God. It wasn't just a particular time disposition, but it was in the Old as well as the New Testament, where the heart of God, Jesus speaking on behalf of God, as God, was saying, "My heart's desire is to draw you in and to draw you close, but you would not." I think also in the 7th chapter of Matthew, we'll read this one. We have the scripture that talks about people coming down to the end of their life and having a desire to make heaven their home. And the result was that they spent the time that they had here doing things, doing right things. And we read here that they'd done all these different things in the 7th chapter. And we'll pick up here, I guess, verse 21. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And what we see here again is the heart of God. What was the problem? It wasn't the works that they had done. The Lord did not deny the fact that they prophesied and all the different things that they testified that we've done these things. The Lord never once refuted it. But the problem was they didn't know Him. You know, it is possible to do religious works. It is possible to do religious things. It's possible to say and act in a certain way that is becoming of a saint of God and still not know Him nor His power. And that was what they were guilty of. God is speaking His heart to these people at this time, and He was telling them, it's not about all the things that you do, but it's about the fact that I want to know you. I want you to know me in a very intimate and real way. And I would to God that we understand tonight that it's more than just escaping hell. It's more than just getting to heaven. It's becoming more like God Himself. And in order to do that, we have to be in one with the heart of God, and that is to know Him. We see the Apostle Paul, and his testimony was that I might know Him and the power of His salvation and the fellowship of His sufferings. And he's telling us this is the crux of the Christian experience. This is what it's about, that I might come to a place where I would know the Father, that I would understand who He is. When we read this word here, know, K-N-O-W, in Matthew 7 and 23, when you look it up in the Greek, it says in a variety of application. You understand what that's telling us? It goes back and supports what I said at the very beginning. It doesn't matter whether you've not started, just got started, or somewhere in between, or you've been doing it your whole life. There is still a variety of application. There are still areas of God yet to explore, to know who God is, to know what He can do in that circumstance of your life. We live life. We experience things, and things are pleasant and good. Some things are challenging. Some things are horrible. Some things we wish we'd never have to deal with. And God is in it all. The Lord is in it all. And it's up to us to seek to know where the Father is in those circumstances that we call life. The things that we experience. I want you to understand tonight that the Lord is there. The Lord is walking to and fro. The Lord's voice is going forward and calling out and calling after us in those places. And too many times we don't necessarily hide in the trees, but we hide in our excuses. We hide in the circumstance and we want to know all the details of why it happened and what is this, and if that person hadn't done that, and if this person had acted differently, and all these different things that we get caught up in, trees. But rather, the Lord would desire for us to turn and have our heart go out to Him and to cry out to Him and say, Lord God, where are You? Where are You in the midst of my life and the things that I'm facing? I want to see You. I want to experience You. I want to know You. I want to feel Your closeness. This is the heart and desire of God. And I believe wholeheartedly that when we call after the Lord in this way, that He'll meet us. That He'll be there with us. It's important that we catch this vision. The scripture I had quoted of the Apostle Paul is in Philippians 3 and 10, that I might know Him. This is what it was all about. The Apostle Paul had been given an abundance of revelation. He had been given a great start in life. He had a great testimony, a Pharisee of Pharisees, and all those different kinds of things that he could attest to and understand the law of God and understand all the finer details and points of it. He was a theologian, and he could debate. No doubt he was probably an apologist as well. And he said, I count it all but dung. Lord, help us to catch that vision. How many times do we find ourselves in the circumstance of life asking the question, why? Lord, why me? Why the person that I care about? Why is this situation happening? What's the point of it? How come? Who's at fault? And we search and we try and do our due diligence to figure out what's the root cause and why it's happening and see if we can do something to stop it. And the heart of God and the testimony of the apostle is, lay it aside. Count it as but dung. It doesn't matter why. It doesn't matter whose fault. It doesn't matter the circumstances and all the things that are surrounding it. What matters is that God will meet you in the midst of that circumstance. He will meet you in that situation. But in order to do that, we have to turn our hearts to God and we have to cast ourselves upon Him. We have to call upon His name. There are times where it seems so foolish. It seems as though logic would tell us that the situation isn't working. That everything's stacked against me. You remember Daniel? He was a faithful man to pray. I can't imagine the conversations that he had with his close friends when they started to say, well, do you know what the new law is? Do you know what the king has proclaimed? And he could have sat around with his friends and commiserated and talked about how evil the king was, how corrupt the government was, how contrary it was to the ways of God, and complained about all those different kinds of things. And he could have sat around and said, woe is me. He could have got a coalition together. They could have gone out and protested and got in the streets and maybe tried to do something. There's all different kinds of things that people do. But what did Brother Daniel do? He continued to seek the Lord. In gambling terms, they call that double down. When the chips are down and it looks like your number isn't called, you've lost, it's gone. And understand tonight, I know we're not gamblers, okay? But we live this thing called life. We experience things in life. They're real. We have real feelings around them. And the enemy comes and he wants to dissuade us. And he has a lot of things to say. And he'll paint such a bleak picture and tell us to just give up. It's hopeless. Forget it. Maybe the Lord isn't real. Maybe God doesn't hear you. Maybe He doesn't care about you. Try convincing Brother Nathaniel of that. You remember his testimony? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You remember? And then he goes and he sees, and he spends time with Jesus, and Jesus looks him in the eye, and he says, I saw you. Thank you. I saw you when you thought you were all alone. I saw you when you thought it wasn't going to work. I saw you when you started to doubt, when you started to lose faith, when you started to lose your hope, and it was slowly fading away, and you thought you were all alone, and nobody understood, and you weren't seen. I saw you. I beheld you. I saw you in that place. There again is the heart of God. And it's a testimony to inspire our faith that when we find ourselves in these kinds of circumstances, living these kinds of things, that we don't give up hope. but that we seek a greater intimacy, that we might know the Lord in a new dimension, in a greater dynamic, that the Lord could work in my heart and in my life beyond the understanding that I have, to give me something new, to give me a new revelation, to give me a new experience, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. This is what the apostle is saying. This is what God desires for us to catch a vision of. You remember we won't read it, but in the 24th chapter of Luke, those men were on the way. They were on the way to their destination. They had a destination to go to. And the Lord disguised Himself and walked alongside them. You ever thought about that? What you're facing? That maybe God is there, disguised. And He's with you all along. I want to encourage you to double down on your faith in the Lord and to reach out to God, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when you can't feel the inspiration. Lord, I don't care how I feel. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. God, I know You've been faithful in the past. I know You've been faithful in the present, and You'll be faithful in the future. And I might not see it. It might not make sense to my mind. It might not make sense to anybody around me, but I'm going to cast my lot with You anyway. Lord, I'm going to call after You, and I'm going to continue to trust in You. Lord, I'm going to seek to know, where are You working in my life? Because you find these men spent time with the Lord. And it said there that He thoroughly opened the Scriptures to them. When they said, did not our heart burn within us? While He opened the Scriptures to us. That word open means to thoroughly expose. There was nothing left unsaid or unknown. And so it was that the Lord disguised Himself and He met with these men and He met their need and He began to speak to them and inspire a faith in their life. You know, I think in a natural sense, it was probably dangerous for them to go back. It wasn't safe to travel at night outside the city. But you know what? They didn't care. They didn't care. They had no thought. They'd spent all day walking and talking with the Lord, and He opened up the Scriptures. And when He finally revealed Himself and showed that I'm here, I'm with you. I haven't left you alone. I haven't left you comfortless. This is our God this evening. This is the God that we know and we love and we serve. This is the God that wants to manifest Himself to us in a greater way than what we knew before we walked in here tonight. That our God will meet us in our circumstances of life. He will meet us according to our personality. He'll meet us according to our struggles. He'll meet us according to our lack of faith. And He'll build it up if we'll look to Him, if we'll trust in Him. Understand, the enemy will be there to beat you down. He'll tell you how horrible you are and how you should have more faith and all these different kinds of things. Understand the heart of God that we read tonight. As it was in the Garden of Eden, as it was with those in the New Testament, so it is today that our Lord desires to walk with you. He desires to talk to you. He desires to meet the needs of your heart. And it doesn't mean that He's always going to answer why. As the song said, farther along, we'll know all about. When we get to eternity, there'll be some things that you're going to find out there. But there are going to be some things down here you're not going to know. And what's going to help you to get farther along is an intimate walk with the Lord. Because when you walk in intimacy with God, there is a power that comes with it. There is a power that surpasses your own ability, your own grit, your own intellectual understanding of Scripture. It goes beyond even your faith. There is a supernatural power of God that when we're intimate with the Lord, it has the ability to work in and through our lives and to carry us through so many different things. You can face some real difficult things. You can go through some stuff. I think about how people ask the question, if God is so good and kind and loving, how come bad things happen? I think about all those children, Texas. Can you imagine staring an atheist in the eye, asking you, where was your God? My faith tells me my God was there the whole time. My faith tells me that my God will comfort those parents. Understand that that's a hard thing to go through. But I'm here to tell you that there is a God that understands what it is to lose His children, There's a God that understands the heartache that goes with that. There is a God that will meet the needs of those parents if they'll be willing to double down and lay everything down at His feet and stop asking the why, stop questioning all the different things and blaming all the different ones, and just simply say, God, where are you? Lord, I need you. I have a need in my life. I need you to meet me in this place. I need you to walk in the cool of the evening with me in this place. And they will find that the Lord will answer it. I could stand here and give you testimony after testimony of all the different times. And my God has met me. Been in some tough places. Been in some real hard things. But I've found that God has been faithful through it all. He's been there. He's met the need. And He's been a God that has shown me time and time again. He's blown my mind. He's blown my understanding and shown me that He's God in all these different kinds of circumstances. You think about why do some of these bad things happen? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. Why do people do evil things? I don't know. This afternoon, we heard a little bit about Brother Joseph. You know, Brother Joseph, his testimony, he said, was what you meant for evil, but God made for my good. But God has a way. And I understand there's evil things that happen tonight. There are evil people that make evil decisions. And when we are affected by those kinds of things, and sometimes those circumstances cross our path and we have to experience it and all the emotions with it, understand that it's not always your fault. And it doesn't matter whose fault it is. What's important is that we understand that God is there in that place. And our best efforts should be made to seek to know the Lord. Lord, where are you? Where are you in this place? What am I to learn? How am I to experience you? What are you causing me to know? You see, Joseph, being sold into slavery by his brothers, forsaken, despised, hated, was able to find a place of peace. You know how he found his place of peace? He didn't focus on his brothers. He didn't focus on the injustice that they committed. You know what his focus was? It was on God. And you want to know how I know that? Because when he was promoted to be over Potiphar's house, and his wife was conspiring to do evil things with him, and when she made the perfect situation, got everybody out of the house, and got him alone, do you remember what his answer was? It wasn't, how could I disgrace your husband? It wasn't, how could I disgrace my family name? It was, how could I do this against my Lord and my God? How could I do this against the one that met my need on that slave train when I was locked up and I was hurting and forsaken and forgotten by my family and sold out? And here I am riding alone in this bumpy cage, and all I have is a time to think and to hurt and to feel. Now, I know the Bible doesn't say explicitly, but I can tell you, if he can stand there before that woman and deny her and say it's because he doesn't want to defy his God, then that tells me that man has an experience with God, that somewhere in that cage, when he's bumping along the highway to get wherever he was going as a slave, he met God in that place and God met him. Why? Because he is a God that desires to be intimate with his creation. There was no time to just do church talk and say, well, you know, I've got some hurt feelings and I'd really like some prayer for it. I don't think that's how Joseph was praying. I think Joseph got real with God. He got transparent. He got broken. He got contrite. Lord, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm feeling. This is how it hurts. This is how lonely I feel. These are the emotions that I'm experiencing. Can you meet me in this place? Can you do a work in my heart? Can you help me? Can you fix me? Can you meet me? And I believe his testimony was that God was faithful to meet him in that place. That's how he was able to do all the things that he did. He learned that there is a God that desires to be intimate. And you could sit back and look at it, and that's an evil thing. Why would this evil thing happen? Joseph could have just as easily said, well, it was because my brother was jealous and come up with all these things. And he could have spent his whole life going down that road, and he never would have had the peace of God. He wouldn't have known who God is and the power of his resurrection to bring life out of death. understand that our God has this ability and this power. And as you and I face circumstances of life, we experience these feelings. We experience these hardships and all these different things that preoccupy our minds. And I'm going to tell you tonight, by the fear of the Lord, lay it down. Stop worrying about it. Stop questioning all, why is this and why is that? But rather seek and use your efforts to seek to know, God, where are you? Where are you in this place? Lord, will you meet me here? And you're going to find a God that will reveal himself. I remember a distinct time going through a tough time in my life. Felt like the work of the Lord was going a particular way and it was being blessed and things were happening, only to have it ripped out from underneath me by other people making what I believe to be evil decisions. And I remember I tried all different kinds of things, even going before the school board. Had nice things to say, was fairly eloquent. I was actually surprised, but all these different efforts, only to find no peace. Only heartache, frustration, emptiness, no fullness, no joy. And I remember I finally got tired of it, and I just took the day off work, and I just went and spent time alone with the Lord. I remember hiking up to the summit of a little hill by my house. I remember when I was looking at the sign, little post, it had a loop trail. And the Lord said, you want to just keep walking in circles with this? And I looked at the other side and it said summit. I says, or do you want to get to the top of this? And I took off running up that trail. And I got up there and looked around and had no inspiration. Started feeling like an idiot. Here you took a day off work, trying to get a hold of the Lord. You're up here and there's nothing. Felt pretty dumb. So I just got on the ground, pulled my hoodie over my head, laid my head on a log and just wept bitterly. Started to just give it all to the Lord. Pour my heart out to him. And you know what I found? God met me in that place. The Lord gave me a scripture to stand on and to hang on to. And he began to show me who he was in a greater capacity. I had known many things. I'd known the Lord in a lot of different ways. But the Lord showed me a new dynamic that day. He gave me a new understanding of who he was. And this is what it means when he says in Matthew 7, I never knew you. To know you is to know him in a variety of ways, in a variety of applications. And all the circumstances of life we face, we would do much better to stop complaining. Stop trying to figure out why this, that, and the other. And embrace, Lord, this is what you saw fit to bring. Then I am content to be in this place. This is what the Apostle Paul said. I have learned, and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. What is he telling us? I have learned that I can find God in every circumstance of life. I have learned that if I'll focus upon him, and I put my trust in him, and I'll follow his voice, that he will meet me there, and he will show me who he is in a greater dynamic than what I've experienced. This is what it means to be intimate with God. Persecution's coming in this country. Just read a headline the other day. There's a coffee shop in Denver, Colorado that gets protested every Friday simply because they're Christian. No other reason. They're trying to employ homeless people, bring them in, help them out, and do something for the community. Each and every week they're persecuted and boycotted simply because they claim to be Christian. It's coming in this country. Some of the things that we read about in the old days in other countries, be on the lookout. And I don't say that to scare you. Persecution has always brought out the best in God's people. It has always brought out the best in God's church. And you want to know why? It's because those that know him have a power that is able to work in and through them. It is able to sustain them. It is able to keep them no matter what life throws at them, no matter what experience that they might have, they know who their God is. They know what He's capable of doing. They know His power. They know His ability to meet their emotional needs, their physical needs, their spiritual needs. They have found that there is a God that is faithful, just as He was to the children in the Garden of Eden when He'd come each and every day, and they knew that voice, and they heard it, and there was usually a comfort in it. Why? Because I was in living in communion with Him. The only time that people want to hide from the voice of the Lord is when they're not right. The Lord desires intimacy. You know, there's benefits to intimacy with the Lord. I made a statement at home, and I stand by it tonight. You know, sometimes you, in your Christian experiences, you're developing and growing, and you want to know things, and what's doctrine, and what are traditions, and what are godly principles, and things like that. And then you get into, nobody likes to say the word, but the gray areas. You want to know why they're gray? Because you don't know the Lord well enough yet. I know, it's a bold statement. But when you get to know the Lord, and you get to know the heart of God, and you start to seek Him, He starts to give clarity to know how to live your life in a way that is pleasing to Him. Because this is what it's all about. This life that we live, we're to live to please Him. This is what it means to be intimate with God. It doesn't mean that I love God and I love me too, and I just live with this entire battle. But rather, I love God supremely, exclusively, wholeheartedly, and I want to be intimate with Him. And that means that I spend the time with Him. And there are benefits that come with that. One of the benefits is discernment. To be able to look at a situation and see it for what it really is. God gives a spirit of discernment. He gives a gifting of discernment. But He also gives discernment to all of His children. As we look and behold certain situations and circumstances, that we know how to conduct ourselves in a way that is honorable and pleasing to God. When you are not intimate with the Lord, it's hard to know that. If you look at your life, and you find yourself having a hard time saying, yeah, I'm pleasing the Lord. I'm doing what He wants me to do. It's usually a lack of intimacy. I think about the power to act right and wrong with the right spirit. Brother Michael had mentioned, and I thought about it with this. These people in Matthew 7, they did all kinds of right things. But they didn't do it under the Spirit. And they missed it. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And there is such a thing as doing the right thing, but we have to do it with the right spirit. How do we get those things? We get intimate with the Father. We seek to know the Father and His heart, and He begins to write those things on our heart. We have multiple scriptures, both Old and New Testament, that tell us in this new dispensation in which we live, He's not a God that's afar off. He's a God that is nigh unto every one of us, and He's promised to write His word and His law on the inward parts of our heart. And so it is that God has promised to be to each of us on an individual basis to meet our needs. And there are times when your unique situation, you're facing a situation, you're not exactly sure what to do. I might not be sure what to do and to give you counsel. But I know this. I know where to send you for the counsel. I know to send you to the Lord. He's promised to give His Spirit to give you comfort and to lead you into all truth. You see, and that Spirit will teach you and help you to discern and rightly divide the word of truth, that you might know how to conduct yourself in such a way that brings honor and glory unto God. This is what the Lord desires for us as His children. It's not about do's and don'ts and what does the church think and this, that, the other. It is about, Lord, what do You think? Lord, what would You have me to do in this moment, in this situation? Sometimes we find ourselves, you get caught unawares in a circumstance and you're not exactly sure what to do. Number one, I would tell you to be cautious. And your patience, possession of your soul. Number two, I'd tell you, it doesn't feel good to be caught unawares, does it? You know the Lord allows things like that to remind us that there's intimacy lacking. That He wants to spend more time with us. prior to those circumstances, so that as we spend that time and we get the understanding and we get to know the mind and the heart of God, and then when we get to the circumstance, we have on hand what we need to be what God has called us to be. Scripture teaches 2 Timothy 2 and 15 that we study the word, rightly dividing. And it also says that thy profiting may appear unto all. This is one of the other benefits of being intimate with the Father. Other people will see it. They'll know. I think one of the greatest compliments I've gotten the last couple of years, and I'll tell you, it's been a rough couple of years. There's been a lot, it's felt like wave after wave after wave of trial and difficulty and things. And I don't want to, that's not what I'm here to talk about tonight. I was going to tell you, it hasn't been all easy and roses. Okay? But you still see this excitement. You still see this passion. You still see my heart burning on fire for God. And when I tell you to double down on the Lord, that He'll meet you in that place. I'm here to tell you tonight, after 2 years of things going wrong and difficulty, I'm still encouraged. I'm still persuaded to follow on. I'm still doubling down on the Lord because I know Him and what He's capable to do. And my testimony is that there have been from time to time that He has met me. He has met my needs. He's given me what I needed. It works, saints. I promise you, it works when you seek to know the Lord. But this man that I work with, he said, I figured you out. I understand why you're so relaxed and calm and not get all excited about it, a bunch of different things. You've made life simple. I said, really? Tell me how. He says, well, you just believe in God and give it all to Him and you know He's going to work it out. So that's the only thing you have to work on. I said, that's a pretty good observation because that's exactly what I do. I don't always, I like to try and think I can solve things. The more I get to know the Lord, the more I realize I don't know much at all. I don't have the answers, but I know the one that does. And I can go back to Him and I can seek to know Him. And God has made it like that by design. You remember the children of Israel? When they went and the Lord led them and they had the victory and they decided in the next battle, you can sit still. We knew what to, we've learned it. We'll do it. And they were utterly destroyed. You know, that's a spiritual lesson for us. That our dependency is to always be on the Lord, not on what we've learned from the Lord. There's a time and a place to use the things that the Lord has taught us. But even as we use those things, we don't use them without recognizing and acknowledging the Lord and seeking His presence in that situation and in that circumstance. There's a reason why the children of Israel, their battles were never the same. They're always different. It's a metaphor showing us about our life that the Lord is not always going to deliver us the same way. Sometimes He'll come down and miraculously change the situation, and all of a sudden we just can't help but shout, praise God. And other times He'll come down and He'll make the situation worse. What do you do? We're still going to trust Him. We're going to double down. Lord, I still believe. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, I still believe in You and Your ways. I still believe that everything works together for my good because I love You and I'm walking a calling according to Your purpose and Your calling on my life. So everything is going to work to my good, whether I like it or not, whether I understand it or not, whether it makes sense to me or not. Lord, I still believe, I still trust in You, and I'm still going with You. Oh, didn't Job say, though He slay me? It's a fancy way of saying it doesn't matter what He does to me, it doesn't matter how illogical it seems, I'm still going this way. I've seen enough to know that this is the way to go. And what the result was that Job, when he doubled down on God and he exercised the faith that he had and he sought to go after the Lord revealed Himself in a greater and a deeper way. And what did the testimony of Job say? The latter end was greater than the former. And he had a pretty good testimony to begin with, but the Lord gave him more. Oh, praise God to help us to have the faith in our circumstance. Where we live, where it doesn't make sense, where it's really hard and it's challenging. Lord, help me to have the faith to trust You. Lord, help me have the faith to continue on. How do I get it? I mean, we've talked about all the good stuff, right? It's amazing. There's great benefits in being intimate with the Lord. How do I get it? Romans 10 says people can't believe unless they've heard. They can't hear unless someone goes. We got to listen. This is part of the reason why Wednesday night prayer meeting is so important. And this is not just a preacher doing a plug for a Wednesday night service. This is a preacher doing a plug for God. Telling you, I'm willing to meet you there. I want to be intimate with you. I want to be in your presence. And I want you to come into my presence. And I want you to come in with your brethren in worship. And you're going to find a place of intimacy when someone stands up and tells you what the Lord has done and how the Lord is working in their life. It develops your faith. It develops an intimacy when you hear those things. Faith comes by hearing. Lord, help me to want to be intimate with you. There's a difference between reading, studying, and meditating upon the Word of God. We need to do all three. Scripture says, while I muse, it burned within my heart. Right? The Word of God. If we knew the great lengths that men and women had gone through to preserve God's Word, what they gave their life for, if we knew them, if they were our aunts and uncles and brothers and stuff, I dare say we'd probably be more passionate about it. But it's been many, many years since those folks have given their lives. And the Word of God is cheap. $1.25, you can get a Bible at Dollar Tree. If you got a smartphone, you can just download it for free. You know the Lord is there. The Lord is revealing Himself in His Word. Has anybody else here ever had the experience where you've read a scripture and you get an understanding and the Lord comes down and you're just like, wow, that's amazing. And then you go on and it might be several weeks, several years, and you come across that same scripture and you read it and all of a sudden there's something entirely new that you never saw. It was there the whole time, but you never saw it. And the Lord gives you a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation, or a new one out of the very same scripture. How much more do you think there is? To me, it's almost like a Super Mario game. You know, you jump and you hit and there's nothing there. You jump up and hit and all of a sudden the magic mushroom comes out and you get big. Right? I know it's just a game, but it's a metaphor and understanding for what's hidden in the Word of God. I shared with them at home, and some of you may know this, but do you realize God's name is on your DNA? Raise your hand if you knew that. I see one. Two, my son, of course. Yeah, right? But God's name is on your DNA. It's been there all along. It's only been in the last few years that we've discovered that. But it's been there since the beginning of time, since the first human. It's been on their DNA. YWYH. I'll let you look it up later. I don't need to explain all of it. I'm a teacher. When we read and we study the Word of God, we begin to know who He is, how He thinks, how He functions, how He operates, what He's pleased with, what He's not pleased with. I think about Revelation. Thank you. The Apostle Paul said, because of the abundance of revelation that were given unto him, there was given to him a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. That's really what he's saying. But a lot of times we miss the first part of his testimony. And that was an abundance of revelation. This was the same man that said that I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And what is this all about? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. This was a man that didn't complain about his sufferings. This was a man that sought to know God so that he could have the power of God working in his life as he went through the things that he suffered. And as a result, he learned to be content. And he says there was an abundance of revelation given to him. You know what it's like to have the Lord meet you in a very real and personal way? Nobody can take it from you. These are the things that sustain us. When I tell you persecution's coming, these are the things that will cause you to stand resolute. Doesn't matter what you do to me. I know on whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. And I know no matter what men may do, it doesn't matter the laws of the land, I will still stand for God and what's right, and he'll take care of me. Just as he did Daniel, so too will he do for me. Psalms 34 and 4 gives us some instruction on how to get intimacy with the Lord. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. This was David's testimony. And he said, how do I develop intimacy? You seek the Lord. You don't quit until he shows up. Just like the persistent widow with the unjust judge. She just kept coming. You know what? Eventually you're just going to get tired of hearing me. You're going to do something. I'm going to keep coming. And we need to have what I call some godly stubbornness. There are times when you don't feel like praying. There's times when you don't feel like reading. There's times when you feel like the Lord is so far away and you don't even know why and you don't know what you did to cause it and the enemy's there and got all kinds of things to say and it takes away all your motivation. It takes away your inspiration. It takes away your zest and your pizzazz. It's all gone. And I want to tell you, go on. What did we sing tonight? I mean to go right on. You sing it. We got to do it. Amen. We got to persevere and we got to continue to press out. And it's okay to pray and say, God, I feel so alone. God, I feel like you're nowhere to be found. God, I feel these emotions. And it's okay to name these things out, what you're experiencing. I want to encourage you, especially sometimes those that are new in the faith and not sure how to pray. You don't have to be all pretty with it. Be real. Be honest, be transparent. God already knows your heart. He already knows your mind. And there's something about developing an intimacy. You see, we have relationships. And we don't always share everything with everybody. There's only a few people that you can be your real true self. And you know why that is? Because you've spent time together. And you've tested one another. And you've proven that I can trust this person. And so I can be vulnerable with this person. And you understand why God wants intimacy? He wants you to learn to be vulnerable with him. That's why he says, I dwell with such as of a broken and a contrite spirit. Somebody that's totally transparent, no guile. They're just going to be their real self. And I'm going to tell you, you can pray this way. To be that real with the Lord. I'm going to tell you, there's some times when I'm praying, I don't want anybody else around. I don't want you to hear how I'm praying. It's not that I'm saying anything irreverent, but you know, you might. Brother, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I just need to know where to go. I know where to go, and I need to be real, and I need to unload this, and I need to give it to the Lord, and I need to be who I really am in that moment so that he can help me to be who he wants me to be. That I might access his power. Focus on God in all things. You want to develop intimacy? You've got to focus on God. As I alluded to earlier, Brother Joseph, he was in a horrible situation. There's all kinds of injustices, treated wrong, falsely accused, lied on his name, all the different kinds of things that happened. And yet what you see through it all, his focus is on God, and God took care of him. God revealed himself to him. God gave him the power to forgive his brethren before they even asked. Not because it was the right thing to do. Because Joseph was becoming like God. I'm here to tell you tonight, sometimes it's difficult to forgive people some things. I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, you will not get into heaven with that. It's impossible. Number two, I'm going to tell you, there's good news. There's a God that will meet you in that place. If you're willing to be honest and you're willing to say, Lord, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm struggling with and I need some help. I need you to show your love to me in a way that I have never known before. I need to know you in a different application, in a different way. I need you to meet me here. You'll find a God that is faithful to meet you. Oh, Lord. think about how we develop intimacy through God's people. So last year has been kind of tough. My wife's been ill. But you know, I've felt closer to the Lord than I ever have. And part of that, obviously, is the Lord Himself meeting me. But you know, also it shows up in texts and phone calls of people reaching out, asking, offering prayer and letting us know that, hey, we're thinking of you. And even though you're not next door to us, we still see you. You know what that tells me? That my God sees me. That my God sees my wife. He sees the plight. He sees everything that's going on. And those are some of the ways that we develop intimacy with the Lord. When we allow ourselves to be used of the Lord to do His will and to do His work, He starts to reveal Himself to each of us through each other. I think about, Brother Ivan had mentioned today, and it just got me thinking about when the early believers were gathered together in the upper room. And the Spirit of the Lord didn't come until there was a oneness. And it was then that the Lord came and met them. And there was a real intimate experience. And there's an intimacy that we experience of God when we're in oneness with one another. This is why unity is so important. That we're unified in our faith to God and we're unified in our love one to another. Because what it does is it opens up some areas of God. We get to hit that little spot and something comes down and there's a blessing in those places. And I don't think we should wait for tragedy to try and draw us together. I think about this nation. How when 9/11 happened, shortly thereafter there was all kinds of unity. It sure doesn't look like that today, does it? In less than 20 years. Completely dismantled. Let it not so be amongst God's people. Let us be in unification together that we might access more of who God is and what He's able to do. And what we'll find that as we continue to pursue after God and we continue to seek Him in more intimate ways and to know Him in different ways and different applications in our life, we're going to find greater strength and greater power. There are some things that people face, some temptations that cause people to fall. And it's because of a lack of intimacy with God. And that's why they pursue those other things. And I don't want to necessarily name some of those things tonight, but I will say this, that as we seek to know the Lord in a greater way, we're going to find that it's going to make us more like Him. And it's going to give us more power. And it's going to give us more ability to look at the things that would try to draw us back and vie for our affection and attention and time. And we have no time for those things because I am acquainted with the one that I want. I think in a natural sense, my wife is all there is. She's all there is. And that is my companion. And we've spent almost 30 years now of developing intimacy one with another. And you know what? If there were, not that it happens, but if there were a flock of women that followed me around, I don't see you. You don't matter to me. You're literally nothing. I know whom I love. I know where my affection is. And it has no draw. It has no pull. Why? Because I'm so in love with her that I won't allow anything else to get in the way. And this is what the Lord desires for us as His people, to fall in love with Him, to be so in love with the Lord that we could call upon His name. You find that the Lord will meet you. You'll develop intimacy in prayer. I've seen in the last few years of my life how the Lord shows up in so many different ways. And there's times I'll just call out to the Lord, Lord, thank you for what you're doing right now in my life. And in maybe a particular situation, Lord, I see where you're at here, and I'm glad that you're here. I appreciate you being here with me, and I want you to know that I love you, and I want you to know that I want to follow you, and I want to be like you. I want to be your child. I want to be that burning bush that's not consumed, that people would look and behold and go, there's something here. Because that's ultimately what this is all about. that you and that I can be the kind of people that are so in love with God, so on fire with the love of God, so impassioned by Him and the relationship that we have, that we're willing to go and do whatever He calls us to do with the right attitude, with the right spirit, and with the power of God in our life. I believe that our Lord desires that for each and every one of us tonight. And I want to tell you, if you don't have it, you can get it. It is the heart and desire of God to give it to you. Appreciate your time tonight. Trust the Lord, inspire your faith and your walk. And I pray, God, light your fire. Amen. That you affect the places that you work, where you shop, and the places that you frequent.